Yeah, do keep your Bibles open, or open them if you close them, at the reading from Matthew chapter 6, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, page 971. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll send your Holy Spirit among us this morning. Thank you. He is here. Well, he continues to be with us, teaching us what you're saying to us from this passage, that we'll be strengthened, encouraged, and challenged and changed by your word this morning. Amen. Now, are you a warrior? Are you a warrior? Now, there are plenty of big things going on in the world to worry about, aren't there? Just to name two, climate change and how that might affect us, children and grandchildren. Or, dare I mention it, the B word. Yes, the uncertainties and instability surrounding Brexit. And maybe we can add the general election as well now. Some people indeed do seem to have a particular natural talent to worry, don't they? I'm not just thinking about the people who always seem to be looking for the next asteroid heading for the Earth, so they say. Now, such people, you know, if they worry about something, if something they worry about happening doesn't happen, as sure as night follows day, they'll find something else to worry about. Now, maybe it's possible to worry as a result of this sermon, because you end up worrying about worrying. Well, as we'll see, Jesus provides answers to worry. But now, whether we like those people, worrying types of people or not, I think we all worry sometimes, if we're honest. We all have things that naturally cause us anxiety, don't we? Well, the things that Jesus tells us in the passage we have read to us from Matthew 6, the things that Jesus tells us there not to worry about have more to do with the essentials of life, don't they? Food, drink and clothes. See, we're not to worry about tomorrow, our future, in respect of those needs. We're not to worry about making ends meet. Perhaps that can sum it up, making ends meet. And isn't it these sort of very essentials that are the things that often we most naturally and understandably worry about? Now, perhaps food and drink and clothing represent any personal material provision we need for our everyday lives, and anything that worries us about our personal circumstances. Maybe it could include things that we face now, but that can determine our income in the future. For example, a job interview or an exam. And Jesus mentions clothes. Now, clothes keep us warm, don't they? So maybe this category can include being able to afford to keep our homes warm in the winter. Well, you may have noticed in the passage in Matthew 6, that passage starts and ends by Jesus commanding us, and it is a command, commanding us not to worry. Now look with me at verse 25. It's helpful to read these verses again to help us in our meditation. Now look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And then the last verse, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now in the rest of the passage in between, Jesus explains why we need not worry. You see, I think it's John Stott, a former rector of a big church in the West End of London, said worrying is incompatible with the Christian faith. Now, I know, and I can understand, we may find this teaching difficult to hear. Now, I do, because naturally I've tended to be a bit of a worrier myself. We may have real personal things going on in our families, maybe illness as well as finances, that understandably cause us to worry. Or maybe we see others struggling in the very things Jesus says we're not to worry about. So therefore we find this teaching difficult. Or maybe when we see real starvation in some parts of the world. And actually, it's interesting that Jesus was actually speaking in a society where poverty and shortages of food would have been far more common and severe than in today's Western societies. Well, we're going to look at, as I said, we're going to look at Jesus' answers to worry. And Jesus' answers are, God cares and provides for us. His second answer is to pray. And his third answer is the priority for the Christian believer. So it's three P's to remember: provision, prayer, and priority. Now, first, Jesus wants us to know that we need not worry because God provides for us, because God loves us, he cares for us. You see, God did not just create the universe and then just sit back and see what happens. No, he's in continual sovereign control over it. He's governing it continually. And so he sustains the whole of his creation. And that includes you and me. See, God created us, so therefore he'll take care of us. He'll provide what we need. Now, Jesus drives this point home, doesn't he, by his illustrations from nature. Now, I didn't need to think up on the illustrations so much today, so it's been easy, it's easier for me. Jesus gives them in the passage. So, now, the illustrations are the birds and the flowers and the grass, aren't they? Now, by these illustrations, what Jesus is doing, he's underlining that we can trust our Heavenly Father for our needs. He's saying, look at the birds, the flowers, and the grass, and learn from them how the Heavenly Father cares for them. So we can trust God, our Heavenly Father, to care for our needs, to provide for us too. Well, what about the birds? The birds seem to answer concerns about food and drink. See, as we see, birds just carrying on with their lives, flying, searching for and finding food. So the Christian understands that ultimately it's God who's at work sustaining them and feeding them. Now look with me at verses 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of much more value? Are you not much more value than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The footnote suggests an alternative translation could be add a single cubit to your height. Now, whatever translation's right, I think it's one in the actual text is more likely, but anyway, whatever translation's right, it's obviously saying worrying is futile. It won't add a single hour to our lives any more than it will make us grow any taller. The second illustration is, as we know, about the flowers and the grass. Now, this illustration addresses concerns about what to wear, keeping warm and so on. See, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" See, Jesus compares beautiful flowers with how King Solomon was clothed. Now, the Old Testament King Solomon was probably the wealthiest king who ever lived. But Jesus says even the splendour of King Solomon was nothing like God's provision for the flowers and the grass. You see, the flowers do not labour or spin. They just grow. So the Christian sees God's sustaining work behind fresh and growing grass and flowers. Now, when Jesus commends the birds for not sowing or reaping or storing away in barns, or the flowers for not labouring or spinning, he's not actually saying we're not to work to provide for ourselves. Nor, obviously, does he advocate abolishing farming. Now, his point is that we're not to worry about provision for our material needs, making ends meet. Well, because our loving Heavenly Father, God, sustains us and cares for us, as he does for the rest of creation. Yes, we should do responsible things such as work to earn money. And if we cannot work today, there's a welfare state and for the retired pensions. But the Christian can know that ultimately God works through these means to provide for us. You see, pursuing personal needs and making this our sort of single or first focus, making ends meet, that type of thing, and worrying about this can so easily become too much the focus of our lives, can't it? Even if we're Christians, actually. I face these temptations myself to get my life focused on the wrong things. But you see, in verse 32, Jesus says that the pagans, now that's a word basically for unbelievers, it's the unbelievers who run after and pursue such things. You see, non-believers do not know God personally as their Father, so they cannot have faith that he cares and provides for their needs. But that, of course, is not the case for the Christian, is it? See, we do know God personally as our Father, so we can grow in faith, trusting that he cares and provides for us. So that's Jesus' first answer to worry, we see. And that's God provides for us. Well, his second answer is to pray. It's prayer. Now, it's true that prayer is not specifically mentioned in the verses we're looking at today. But earlier in the chapter, what do we have? Well, we have the Lord's Prayer, don't we? In which Jesus instructs us to ask our Heavenly Father to give us today our daily bread. And that at least must include provision of our essential material needs. And then later in the Bible, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God." See, the Bible shows us that prayer is a key answer to worry. So when we pray about our material needs for ourselves and others, we can pray trusting God as our Father who cares and provides for us. See, in verse 32, Jesus says our Heavenly Father knows we need the material things essential for life. And so when we pray, we can remember the birds of the air and the flowers and grass of the fields. Because God provides for them, so how much more does he take care and provide for us? So we can pray expressing our trust in our Heavenly Father that he cares about us, he cares for our bodies. Well, he created them after all, didn't he? That he is sovereign, in control, and fully able to take care of the things we can so naturally and understandably worry about. So if we're tempted to worry about what might happen in the future, whether we'll have enough earnings to make ends meet for us and for our families, or have future job security, or if we'll be able to keep up with mortgage payments or get help to pay the rent or whatever, then when we pray about these things, we can think about the birds of the air and the flowers and grass of the field, how our Father God cares about them and that he provides for us too. Or we may feel a challenge to serve God in a new way, which might have implications for our earnings or housing. Well, we can pray, remembering the birds of the air and the flowers and grass of the field. God provides for them, he provides for us too. So, Jesus answers to worry. First, to know God provides for us. Second, prayer. And third, now we come to his third answer to worry, which is the priority of the believer. Look down with me at verse 33, where Jesus says, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things," that's our material needs, "will be given to us as well." Is it not to worry about our personal needs, but we're instead to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness? See, we're not to worry about our personal needs. We're to instead seek first, as our first priority in life, God's kingdom and his righteousness. You see, pursuing personal material needs can be a distraction from what God wants to be the first thing we should pursue, which is his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, what is God's kingdom? Well, it's not actually, as we might see a kingdom today, a nation like the United Kingdom. God's kingdom comes, rather, when individuals come to live under God's loving rule. But God's kingdom is where Jesus rules. So seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness means the Christian priority is involvement in the church and its mission to proclaim the good news of Jesus so that more people can come to live with Jesus as their Lord and King, to live under God's loving rule. And it means living in obedience to God's word in every area of our lives, in the home, in our marriages and families, the workplace, the way we use our money and time, that we forgive those who have hurt us and live out that forgiveness. Now, this type of righteousness, the righteousness that Jesus speaks of here, well, it means it's increasing Christ-likeness in our characters and also righteous living in the way we live. It's the righteousness which Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, which is to exceed that of the Pharisees. Now, that means it's more than outward conformity to religion and religious good works. It's obedience to God that can come only from our hearts, that when they have been transformed by faith in Jesus. And of course, yes, the effects of God's rule and his righteousness in Christians will and should and will spill over to the non-Christian world as Christians live in obedience to God in their individual situations. And as we seek God's values in issues like marriage, sexual ethics, honesty and justice, you see, we become like salt, a preservative in society, so that because of Christians, society is not as bad as it could be. Now, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says this, doesn't he? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things and material needs will be given to us. So what this means is that we can have confidence to pursue God's priority, his kingdom and his righteousness, knowing, confident, that he'll take care of us, he'll provide our material needs. Now, for a bit more of context, in the previous verses before this passage, Jesus speaks of our hearts being where our treasure is, in verse 21. And then in verse 24, he says, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and money. And then verse 25 says this, therefore. And if you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to know what it's there for. Therefore can be translated actually because of this. Well, because of what? Because we cannot serve two masters, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, drink or wear. Why? Because by doing so, we'll be serving money and not Jesus. In last week's sermon was from verses 19 to 24, which is a passage which is more about serving money in our hearts by storing up wealth or storing up money for a rainy day, that sort of thing. But now we see we can serve money and not Jesus by worrying about making ends meet. So the question is, which of these two masters are we serving in the hearts? And by hearts, the Bible often means the core of our beings, of who we are, the core of who we are as individuals. What's our deepest motivation? What's the main focus of our lives? Personal material needs, making ends meet, or God's kingdom and his righteousness? Now, Dave said last week, the things we pray for can reveal what our hearts are really most focused on. And I found that really challenging. Yes, it is right, as he said, it is right to pray about our personal material needs. But what are our prayers for ourselves and others focused mostly about? Material needs or eternal things, eternal needs? Now, does our praying show that in our hearts that we do not worry about our material needs, but instead we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Now, just a personal thing here. Now, it was in 1975 when I realised I was sort of just like living for myself. I was certainly not living for God's kingdom and his righteousness. Yes, I was brought up in a Christian family. I went to church, or at least for some of the time. You know, although not perfect, well, certainly not perfect, ask my family, I was better than the worst people, but Jesus was not Lord of my life, and he needed to be. So I turned in repentance to Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. See, God changed the main focus of my heart to live first for Jesus rather than just myself, having just myself on the throne of my life. Now, maybe there are some here who need that basic thing to happen to them, need to take that basic step. Because you know that seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness doesn't characterise your life now. If that's you, turn to Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, trusting in his sacrificial death on the cross, which paid for our sin. Jesus' death paid for our just living with self on the throne, just living for ourselves and excluding God. Jesus' death on the cross paid for that. See, this personal response is where actually seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness always starts in someone's life. And it means then knowing God as our Father, so we can grow in faith that he cares for us and provides our material needs, so we don't have to worry about them. Yes, doing what we can to meet our personal needs is really important. I need to say that. For example, work, which inevitably takes up, for those who do work, work inevitably takes up a large proportion of our energy and time. But it's a matter of what is of first priority for us. See, if we're Christians, if we're Christians, we can trust in our Heavenly Father's sovereign care to provide our needs. So we're not to worry or be distracted in our hearts by our essential material needs and the things that can so easily naturally worry us. So let's ensure we make it our first priority, our first ambition in our praying and in the whole of our lives to seek the extension of God's kingdom, Christ's rule, and his righteousness in our lives and in the lives of others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father God, help us to put our trust in you through Jesus, so that we seek your kingdom and righteousness as first priority in our lives, so we can be free of worry and instead grow in our faith that you care for us and provide for all our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Philip. We're just going to take a few moments just to pause and reflect on the word that reflections that Philip shared with us. Martin's just going to play quietly in the background, and then Mike will come and lead us in our prayers.